This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take podcast. My name is Josh and I'm joined by my co-host Alex. And first time in a while that we've actually had a guest on this podcast. So we're super excited to bring you our interview with Talking Giants'. Yeah, that's right. Bobby Skinner. A great conversation with him about all things Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, New York Giants free agents, and some even some draft talk split in there. At the end, we're going to have to talk to Bobby again, by the way, Alex, as we get closer to the draft, because that was such a great conversation, and he does bring a lot to the table, and he even actually gave us some insights on his Talking Giants episode that I'm sure he's probably recording right now as we're doing our intro here. If you're coming from Talking Giants, we appreciate you coming from there, and if you came to our podcast first, we really appreciate that you made Giant Take your first listen of the day. Please go to, you know, Talking Giants new episode after us, because they talk about free agents and it's fun stuff. So without further ado, my friend, my co-host, Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Another week getting closer to free agency, getting closer to the draft. Next week is the Combine, which is super duper exciting. I'm, you know, hyped for that. And you know, just waiting on these Daniel Jones deals, the Saquon Barkley deal, all these deals that the Giants hopefully are going to make very, very soon. And it's getting exciting. We already saw some, you know, cap casualties yesterday with the Titans, or 2 days ago when you're listening to this. So the off season's really getting, you know, up and away, I guess you can say. And I'm just ready to get into this episode before we send it to the interview, which you know, just like you said, it was a great conversation. I had a lot of fun, you know, talking about everything from the Nets to the free agency
class, also in the beginning,
to Daniel
yeah.
Jones
yeah.
to the draft, talking about a couple of my favorite guys. So overall, a good day so far. And I think this intro should hopefully have some interesting information as well.
And yeah, I do want to say too, it as great as it is, and I love previewing these position classes, week in, week out, you know, kind of going week by week, We did that back to back. It's kind of nice to take a little bit of a breather, right, and give us some more time to do some scouting of the positional group that is the cornerbacks, which is our next group that will probably be coming sometime, hopefully next week or the week after that.
Yeah, getting ready for the combine also, obviously.
That too. So it's nice to kind of take a little bit, not a break, because we're still here, we're still grinding.
The grind never stops. There's no breaks.
It's a nice time to have this off-season chat and conversation, and more of like a, what am I, like a, not slower tempo, how do I, like a nice, like, chill, I guess, relaxing episode. So we hope you sit back and relax listening to this one. Okay, let's get to the news here. Enough side conversations. Brian Murphy is believed to be Daniel Jones' primary agent now and the point person on this, you know, with the New York Giants. He's a CEO and the founder of Athletes First. Murphy has represented high-profile players for years, a Harvard Law grad, did the Kyle Rudolph deal with the Giants in recent years. That report came out on Tuesday, and obviously we're recording this on Thursday. It'll be out on Friday. Just going to keep on running through these bullet points. Cleveland Browns have requested permission to interview the New York Giants assistant special teams coordinator Anthony Blevins for their special teams coordinator job. Blevins had stints with the Cardinals prior to his job with the Giants, and he interviewed with the Broncos for their special teams coordinator position. And that was via Adam Schefter on Tuesday. I'll read one more, Alex. I'll send it to you. Right now, it seems that the franchise tag is pegged on Daniel Jones and is against the salary cap, which would be around $31 million if he were to sign that franchise tag. Meanwhile, that the Giants wouldn't be able to sign many notable free agents to help Daniel Jones, and his weapons would be very similar to what he had last season. If Daniel Jones does happen to sign a deal with the team, which we hope, best case scenario, Saquon Barkley would most likely be tagged and wouldn't really have any leverage with the team on the deal or anything like that. Alex, any reactions to that? I just realized the next thing on the list I probably should talk about since I watched that. But anyway,
I don't really have any reactions to this. I'm just kind of waiting for the contract, man. I'm sick of the talk, even though that's literally what this podcast is about. So a little bit counterintuitive there, but I'm sick of the talk, and I'm just waiting for this deal to come out so we can analyze it for what it actually is, not for what it is at $30 million reported, or $45 million, or $87 million. You know, who knows? I just want to see what the deal is, what it's going to entail, and I think we talked about this, you know, quite a bit with Bobby in the interview, so I'm not going to go on and on about it, but, you know, Jones obviously first priority, and then it comes to Saquon Barkley, who I think the tag is probably the right fit for, as we discussed in the interview.
So let's move to Craig Carton now, and Alex, I know you didn't see the clip, and you don't really know who he is, so I'll kind of go into him a little bit. Craig Carton, which you don't really need to know who he is anyway. And there's no offense to Carton, but anyway, sorry for you Craig Carton fans out there. WFAN, a guy in the afternoon with Evan Roberts. You know who that is, though.
I do know who that is.
His Nets fandom. So Craig Carton has also now a CBS sports show in the mornings. I think it's like a 6 to 9 or something like that, AM show. That's on CBS Sports, which you just got, I think, within the last few months or a year. Anyway, on that show this morning, he basically stated that Daniel Jones and Athletes First never actually said anything to the Giants about wanting $45 million a year, which is what Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reported a few days ago. Instead, apparently it was CAA, which was Jones' old agency, who leaked this fake story because they were upset he was leaving the agency and wanted to make Jones look bad or make people think he was crazy for asking so much money. Now, to that, Ryan Dunleavy of the NY Daily News, I believe, is who we, you know, where he writes from, reposted that video and retweeted it and said there's a lot of misinformation here. So I don't know how much is right. Carton did say on his show that it was from valuable sources or whatever you call it, like an inside source that he trusts. So I don't know how much of that is right. That's what Carton said. I think we also talked to Bobby about it a little bit too. But the conclusion we can come to is that Daniel Jones, the $45 million talk never was a thing. Maybe something in the $40 million deal way. That's what I've been seeing, that a lot of people within Daniel Jones's group thinks he's worth $40 million, but nothing close to 40. Not, I mean, $40 million is close, if you think about it in just the millions. but nothing in the $45 million area, more 40 and under. So that's the thing there. And I think we got really... Oh. Everything except one thing, which before we recorded the interview with Bobby, one breaking news story. our former, now Giants quarterback, Davis Webb, former third-string quarterback of the team.
Future Hall of Famer.
Is joining the Denver Broncos as their quarterback coach. And Alex, what was the tweet you saw right after that happened?
Oh, 28-year-old Davis Webb will be coaching 34-year-old Russell Wilson, for those who want a little laugh.
I think that's a nice little tidbit to add there. What can Russell Wilson learn from Davis Webb? That's the real question.
I mean, he threw a touchdown pass to Kenny Golladay. Anything's possible.
This is very true, and I think it could also be for... Who's their backup quarterback in Denver?
No idea.
Isn't it... Don't they have a youngster there?
No, Drew Locke got traded in the trade.
Oh, right. They don't have Locke anymore.
No, they got a... I don't know. Someone.
I mean,
a veteran. I forget his name.
We all want Broncos country to ride, except after last season, we have no idea how it's going to
look. I'm telling you this now. Broncos country is actually going to be much better this year. I think they're going to make a Super Bowl push, because that team's good. They got a lot of talent. They just needed competent coaching, which they just didn't have last season. True. We know how much coaching matters, and Sean Payton's a hell of a coach, so I think they're going to be much better. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to be in that conversation.
Their backup is Brett Rypien, which I've heard the name before. But anyway, not the point. So Webb is gone. That means the Giants in free agency. It's not going to cost that much money. Or in the draft, maybe. They maybe even draft someone
late. Well, they got Tyrod.
Yeah, they need a third-string quarterback, though, for training camp.
Not necessarily.
Yes, for camp, they do. For camp, obviously. So we'll have to see what happens there for the team. But anyway, we do not have an outro for this episode, so that's going to come right now. But don't go anywhere. This is
don't
not the actual
off.
Outro.
Do
this is the transition into the interview, okay? Do not click off.
Don't do it.
Couple plugs. Social medias for us is The Giant Take Pod on Twitter and TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, The Giant Take Podcast. Alex, he's on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at Joshola29. Subscribe to this podcast if you enjoy it. We hope you do. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a bunch of other places that you can find on chippastudios.com/TheGiantTake. All right. Alex, should I just do it?
Go ahead.
I get the honors? Enjoy the interview with JM Footballs and Talkin' Giants' Bobby Skinner. We are back now with a very special guest, a recurring guest here on the Giant Take podcast, Talkin' Giants co-host Bobby Skinner, who's actually just watching the Daytona 500 about a week ago now, and he's joining us today. We appreciate you coming back on to take our questions once again. So thank you for that, Bobby. How you doing?
Good. Thank you guys for having me on. I didn't really appreciate the being harassed by Josh about the Nets at the start, but it's all good.
He's really a pain sometimes. It's really frustrating to be a Nets fan these days. But Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Cam Thomas, both of the Cams, we're set for the future. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Set for the future is one word. Yeah. Okay. It's an interesting way to describe that, Alex. But, you know.
We got cancers off our team. All right. It's fine.
That's true. I guess I know, Bobby. I mean, I saw obviously on social media your reaction to the trade, but I don't even care. We're starting with Nets news. I guess now looking back on it, what were your thoughts on obviously first the Kyrie to the Mavs deal, and then KD getting the hell out of there basically a day after that?
So I'll go quick. I've always been a big believer of do what you can to keep them together, because no matter how much of a pain in the ass they are, that's your only way to win a championship. And when Kyrie demanded the trade, I was finally like, I've had enough. Like, goodbye. Please get off my team. But I also was like, we have Kevin Durant under contract for 3.5 years. I get that this is not necessarily how the NBA works. Tell him to either get with it or piss off. Like, you are going to finish out your life as a Net, or the next 3.5 years as a Nets player. But the Nets didn't have, I just hate everyone basically. Like I'm dead. I'm back to being dead as a Nets fan, but I'm even more dead than I've ever been as a Nets fan, because this Nets team will be kind of fun. You know, they'll get in the playoffs, but it's like, I can't enjoy that anymore now that I tasted like championship, aspirations for the first time in 20 years. So I basically hate everyone except for the players on the team now, minus Joe Harris.
Minus your Ben Simmons, still a fan?
Oh, yeah. Actually, wow. I forgot about it. I hate Ben. Ben Simmons is definitely number one for my hate. Actually, no. Joe Tsai, one. Ben Simmons, two. I would guess Mark's, three. And then, you know, I don't have... I actually like Jacques Vaughn. Why not?
Just got a new extension, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hate a lot of them, but a lot of the people I hated are gone, so.
Yeah. Alex, I mean, I've
never actually like publicly expressed my thoughts on this podcast about it, but I mean, with the Kyrie trade, honestly, I don't know if I was just being ignorant, but I was like, you know, Kyrie, we got Finney Smith, we got Dinwiddie back, we got a couple of picks, we flipped those picks with the Philly picks, maybe we get another player, we get Ananobi or something, and we build this solid core around Kevin Durant, and then Kevin Durant leaves. So, you know, it was kind of like a, I guess I was in my own world here. I really should have known that once Kyrie requested the trade that KD was going to be gone, but I really don't get it either. I kind of agree with you, Bobby. Like, we know KD, his whole life is basketball, right? He's not like Kyrie and some of these other players who kind of, you know, are just kind of doing, you know, I'm not going to say they're doing it just to do it and for the money type thing, but.
He's not going to do what Kyrie and Harden did, where Harden just stopped playing basketball on the court. Kyrie will just stop playing.
Yeah, even he can't do that, right?
He already fooled his wires. He already fooled it once.
Yeah, he's not that type of guy. So, you know, hey, you tell him, hey, you're going to sit there for 3.5 years and never touch an NBA court for that amount of time. He's not going to do that. He'll come back. But it sounds like, I guess they had some sort of backroom deal that they were going to try to make it work. And they promised KD that they trade. I don't know. But who, I guess Josiah's making those stupid deals. But whatever, man. It's frustrating. Josh, stop smiling. I don't want to see him smile anymore. So we're going to stop talking about it.
You know, I was actually going to give you guys some credit. I think, like, I've been seeing the TikToks or whatever about how, like, the team is giving, like, the 2019 Nets vibes now because there's no stress and there's kind of no pressure. It's just a bunch of youngsters and even the veterans playing for just playing. You know, there's no kind of, I think, pressure on their hands now. And obviously, you've been seeing, what was it, Bridges at that three-pointer celebration where he pointed with the head tilt. Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty cool. And also, you know, since we do live in Jersey, we're able to get the YES broadcast. So from time to time, I'll watch a Nets game and watch the pressers. And honestly, I'm really impressed by like how Vaughn speaks in his press conferences before or after games. I don't know if you, I mean, Alex, I know you watch Bobby. I'm sure you kind of stay in touch with him too. He's a really great speaker. And he does like, I mean,
hopefully if he improves, well, just being a great speaker isn't the best. Like,
I know, but I'm just saying like, I'm not, I wouldn't say Thibodeau isn't a great speaker, but it's just like, I'm not used to that from like your basketball head coach. It's weird. Having Tom Thibodeau as your head coach, he's not really, doesn't really talk a lot. He's not really addressing anything. So anyway, but it's fine. You know, the Knicks will be taking over that, whatever, fifth spot I think you guys are in right now in just a couple of days. So
9-1 in our past 10 games. That's all I'm going to say. Nine.
Okay. I think 1.5 games behind you right now, 2.5 maybe.
Don't aim so high with fifth place.
Hey, listen, as long as we're not in the play-in games and we can beat the Hawks in the first round, that's all I care about. I need my revenge earlier than later.
That's their aspirations, just beating the Hawks and making trades.
Well, they're not even going to be in the playoffs, to be fair. The Hawks just lost their coach. They have no effort. We played them the other day or a couple of weeks ago. I think the game going to the All-Star break, like, lost by, like, 20-30. That team has no effort right now. And Trae Young that just shows that Trae Young's a great player, but he can't carry a team. So
again, stop putting your goals so high on beating a 12 seed.
I think it's time to move to Daniel Jones. No, am I wrong? Daniel Jones. So the
also seeking high aspirations, right? With his price tag.
Apparently,
allegedly.
Allegedly, I want to talk about this. So, Bobby, I assume, did you see what happened with Craig Carton on his show this morning? And his claims about it?
Yeah, I don't put any weight into what Craig Carton says as an insider.
I don't either.
Or much at all. But on the flip side, Mike Florio, like, floating out 45 mil, I didn't put any into that. With Daniel Jones, I'm kind of ignoring all the outside noise right now. And if you look at, like, past contracts and stuff, 15 to 16% of the cap for his average annual value is what I think he should get, and that is like between 34 and like 36.5 mil. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the Giants should be putting their sights on, and they have a lot more leverage than people would think, just because, oh, he's an unrestricted free agent. Well, there's an assumption that he's going to be back with the Giants from other teams around the league, which means they're not making plans to go and sign Daniel Jones, because even if he didn't accept their offer, they can franchise tag him. So I think a deal is going to get done. I would like it to be, you know, 36 mil or less. That's not just me being a fan that wants to pay less money. That's looking at the history of quarterback contracts, and that's where he would end up. And even that's a little generous. So I think between 34 and 36 is where he should and will end up.
Yeah, I just want to confirm with you that, like, for the people that are saying, I mean, I guess 30 to 35 is in the range that you said, because that's 34, 35. But I think anything under that 34 is just kind of really not possible, because it isn't, if they do sign him to that tag, that is 32.1, right? Isn't that what it is? Like 32 something million dollars?
Yes. It's 32 something.
Yeah.
For the franchise tag. And the only quarterback that has kind of fell into that percentage, which was Alex Smith, that would put him at 30 mil. And that was just kind of like a one-off contract. I don't see that happening with Jones, and that was so long ago. So now that sounds like a big number, but that is the QB middle class market. Like the upper middle, you know, the upper class of quarterback contracts is 45 minimum now, you know, after Kyler got 46, you know. So like Jalen Hurts will command probably $50 million. And any quarterback who's viewed in that top tier will get, you know, like probably minimum of 47, 48 million average annual value. So 35, the floor for quarterback contracts is so high, but that is like the mid tier contract that I think Daniel Jones will get.
Yeah. When looking at kind of like all these, you know, rumors, I guess that he asked for 45, blah, blah, but like in negotiating, I don't think, you know, it seems like some people don't know how negotiating works. One side comes in high, the side that, you know, really want, like, of course the player's going to come in high and then the team's going to come in low. I bet you, you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and stuff like that are coming in at, say, you know, 32 million, something like that. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. And, you know, Daniel Jones and his team are coming in supposedly at the 45 mark, and it's probably going to end up somewhere in the middle, you know, probably in the high 30s. I think you look at his value. I was looking at, you know, other players, you know, in similar range in terms of his ability. I think Dak Prescott's probably, like, you know, he's overpaid clearly, right, at 40 million. But I think he's going to be, Daniel Jones going to end up just under that value, would be my guess, probably like 37, 38. Because, you know, Dak was what, 40 million? That was a couple years ago he got signed to that extension, right? If I'm correct.
It was 2021.
2020, yeah. So just like, just
which was a weird year because of the cap not going up because of
COVID. So, you know, I think, would you say that Daniel Jones is a more valuable player to, you know, is he a better player than Dak Prescott? Probably, you know, about the same, maybe. I don't think
you can't look at their body of work and say that Daniel Jones is better than Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I would agree.
There's obviously other outside factors, and I think Daniel Jones can get to that level. But to their, and again, Dak has choked in the playoffs time after time, so it depends on how much you wait on that. But Dak has been a really good quarterback for a long time. It's just kind of those playoff mishaps. And I mean, there's flaws to his game, you know, and which there's it's why he's not an elite quarterback. He's a really good quarterback, but he's not an elite quarterback. Yeah. But I think Daniel Jones falls in the good quarterback tier right now, which again is super annoying at sports radio, but that's like the tier he falls in right now.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think, you know, you look at Daniel Jones also, right? This season was really his, I don't want to say like breakout season, because not like he blew the world away, but in terms of the team just doing really well overall. But I think this is his first season, right, that he's played all, you know, 17 games, right? He's had injury history in the past as well. You know, I don't think he doesn't have that, you know, upper echelon resume. He doesn't even have the resume of Dak did, like you said. You know, Dak was playing at a high level for multiple, you know, for several years before he got that contract, whereas Daniel Jones really only played at a reasonably high level, I'd say, this past season. So I think that's something to take into account as well.
Yeah, when you look at other guys that have been in that situation, you know, let me pull it up right now. I have my notes. The Ryan Tannehills of the world, Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith. It lands in between like the 14.9 to like 16% of the cap.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the Giants should end up. And again, that's between 33.7 and 35.9 average annual value. Really, the true test is how many years do they give him? I think that
guaranteed
tells a story
too,
on what they think of him. Yeah. Most quarterback contracts are like it's just one non-guaranteed year at the end. So if it's a five-year deal, it's 4 years and so on and so on. I think that'll tell the story on what they really think on him is how many years they give him.
I can't imagine they do five. I would have to assume it's three or four, most likely.
If they
four.
Truly, truly believed him, five would be the best because that cap hit would be a lot less, you know, 5 years from now instead of having to re-sign him. But if they have trepidations and there's like, hey, we were not able to push the ball downfield, and a big part of that they thought was DJ's processing, then you got to go 3 years. And even then you might want a franchise tag, but putting $32 million on the cap this year would be really tough.
So. Tough, yeah.
It's a tough situation when you don't have a for sure, this is going to be the guy. We want this guy to be the guy for next 6 to 8 years type thing. And that's where the Giants are.
Yeah, Alex. I mean, I guess going to what you were talking about earlier about like this past year being his, oh my gosh, what was like the you call it breakout year, the breakout season. I think that's also like his big, this is like his big way to kind of, I guess, sell it to the team, because it wasn't even it wasn't just like, okay, this is where he broke out. It's also he did this without, you know, top tier weapons too. I think that's going to be a big part of his pitch to the New York Giants too, is that it wasn't even with top quality talent. And I like to not, you know, I think it's complete rumor whether what Craig Carton says or not, the $45 million a year with the Mike Florio report. I do want to say this, that if he does sign higher, like more amount of money, then I think he knows, and or at least he should know, that that's not going to give the Giants a lot of cap room to go out there and then sign free agents to help him with this offense. And he's going to be working with similar quality talent as he did last year with mainly Isaiah Hodgins, who, you know, we just got brought back for a minimum deal. But, you know, if he's signing contracts in the $40 million ranges, that doesn't really leave the Giants with a lot to go out there and make moves in the offseason, in the free agency window. So I think if he really wants to stay in New York, I'm sure that's something he's probably considering too, that he knows that if he signs something in the 30-something-ish million dollar range, that the Giants can actually, you know, use the rest of that money that they don't sign him with to go and get weapons, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's guys on the team right now that's like, they're trying to bring back with Julian Love, maybe even a guy like Richie. Like, that can make the difference between bringing back Richie James, which doesn't sound like the biggest thing in the world, but it's like, it's a nice piece to have on this team is depth. So, yeah, it's, but at the end of the day, these players are worried about their money and their money only for the most part, unless you get a rare guy like Tom Brady, who basically got money funneled through TB12. Then, you know, he's going to worry about his money, but at the end of the day, the market does not dictate him getting $40 million. Like, he's not the quarterback that's up next. He's the quarterback whose contract expired, and they're going to get a deal that's reasonable.
I think it's kind of interesting. You brought him up to Julian Love, right? Kind of, I guess, the third guy. You know, you got the top two guys with Saquon and Daniel Jones, but you've got a guy in Julian Love who was pretty critical to the team this past year, the year before as well. And no, there's not really any talk about what his situation is with re-signing the team. You know, is he going to re-sign? Are the Giants in kind of like, we don't really know. You know, we've heard the rumors about Saquon and their valuations, you know, kind of being farther away. We've heard, obviously, the $45 million thing for Daniel Jones. Haven't really heard a lot about Julian Love as much. Obviously, not as much of a, I guess, household name for the national media to talk about, I guess. But do you think he's a guy who could possibly not re-sign with the Giants and could be, you know, someone that kind of could go away in free agency and just not return? Is his asking price going to be, you know, too much for the Giants, considering they're already going to have to give a new deal to Xavier McKinney in the near future? Ooh, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think he could be a surprise walk. For him, when I look at other player contracts, that and recent was Jerron Curse out of the Cowboys and Jordan Whitehead of the Jets. Those guys got 2 for $10 million and then 2 for $14.5 million. And even then, I think that's a little rich for Julian Love when Wink Martindale has never put a huge value on re-signing safeties with his team. And you have Xavier McKinney. You drafted Dane Belton. They like Pinnock more than most. And Julian Love is someone who's like best fit as a box safety. You know, he struggles when he's playing from deep. So we're not talking about a premier safety. We're talking about a good player in Julian Love, a solid player. you know, and you look at like, you know, I know he's coming off of an injury, but Jabril Peppers got 1 year, $2 million last year. Jabril Peppers is an undoubted better player than Julian Love. So the safety market is one that is really hard to read. It really is. Like, you look at the contracts, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But I would aim to, I want to bring him back. I would aim at that two-year, $10 million type deal for Julian Love.
Yeah.
Maybe even 3 years if you want, because you know you have at least a solid player in him who's got a high floor.
Yeah. I think like 3 years, $16 million is probably like a, you know, on the high end, probably what you'd want to
do. Yeah, but that's a fair deal. Obviously, it's a little uncomfortable, but it's a fair deal.
Yeah. And I guess we'll transition to Saquon Barkley as well.
I guess that's who we move to next, right?
There's been huge rumors, obviously, about him, you know, their valuations being farther apart. You know, Christian McCaffrey money, $16 million. Is that where he's going to want to demand? Is he going to be much more team-friendly, more $10, $11,
$12 million? I'm sorry to cut you off, Alex. I don't think the Giants are signing into a contract. Like, I really...
think it's a tag or bust. I don't...
Yeah.
I personally have a number in my head, which I would not go over. Unless possibly the years are really short, but 12 and a half is really like, I know this has been reported that that's Joe Shane's number, as well, 12 and a half million a year. But I feel like that's about as high as I go for a running back, even someone as talented as Saquon Barkley. But I think the running back market's really tough because now you're seeing these teams like the Eagles, like the Chiefs, who are having success with, you know, I don't want to say, I want to say less talented backs, but you know, guys who are just not taking up as much of the cap room as, you know, players like Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, et cetera. You know, when you have, I mean, you saw what's happening with the Titans, right? Titans are paying Derrick Henry, what, $14, $15 million a year. And now they're having to cut all these guys. I'm not saying just because of Derrick Henry, but Woods, Luan, you know, they had to get rid of A.J. Brown. They didn't want to sign him to a big contract. Like, paying running backs does have its consequences. So that's kind of what I'm concerned about with the Saquon Barkley contract.
I think they should quietly just have a plan of franchise tagging him. I mean, like you said, they supposedly turned down 12 and a half mil. They should not go. I don't even know if they should offer that depending on the years. Yeah. The franchise tag is $10.1 million.
Just like, keep franchise tagging him over and over again.
Yeah, seriously. I know it's like, oh, well, it's all in one. We can afford that on the books. I'm sure Saquon Barkley would not appreciate it, but at the end of the day, I think that's the right thing to do from the Giants. Like, do what the Steelers did with Le'Veon Bell, where it's like, we don't want to lose you, because I don't want to lose Saquon Barkley, but I don't know if I want to pay him a long-term deal either. So I would franchise tag and not have any desire to get a long-term deal done unless it's something that's super cheap, which is not going to happen.
I think there's also an outside thing too, right? You know, John Mara's going to have some input on this, right? Because Saquon Barkley, he sells jerseys. He's kind of the face of the franchise. So I think as much as maybe he's not worth that amount of money to the franchise, to, you know, revenue, he could be to just have him around anyway. But I'm not sure that's how Joe Shane operates. But I think in the past, you know, John Mara has really been reluctant to, you know, get rid of guys who are kind of the face of the franchise.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's tough because he kind of plays his cards perfectly. So there's a lot more than just, do we play this player? There's so much more in play with Saquon Barkley, and you can't ignore it. You can't. But yes, you can't ignore the evidence of Saquon Barkley not being the same player that he was once was. You can't ignore the fact that he has a huge injury history. You can't ignore the factor that even though he had a really good year this year, it wasn't a spectacular year. He just got a lot of carries. It was his third best year as far as yards per carries go, and he's only really had four seasons. You know, and last year was the 2021 was obviously pitiful. You can't ignore the fact that if he does have a smaller injury in season, the five games that he comes back, he's struggled, whether it's 2019 or this past season. And you can't ignore the fact that out of seven workhorse backs in the NFL this year, you guys are getting all my notes for the podcast for Friday. He was seventh in yards after contact per attempt. So he's still a really good player, but it's dangerous to invest. But where I want to keep him is like the Giants aren't filled with talent. So letting a talent walk would suck.
Yeah.
I had trouble unmuting there for a second. I just wanted to say that I think right now, I'm assuming that the Giants still have that franchise tag set in place for Jones just in case the contract negotiations don't go well. And then obviously, I think everyone knows this. So obviously, if the Giants end up signing Jones for however much they sign Jones, they tag Barkley. I think it goes right to Barkley. He's that number two option. But I do think that I bet you Jones is probably still that number one priority for the tag, just in case there are no... Because, would you rather have your star running back or your star quarterback? What position's more important in the league? So I think... I would assume that right
Jones
now,
was priority one for sure.
I think on the franchise tag, he's number one right now. But obviously, if he signs, I think Saquon moves right up the list and goes to number one. But we know that already. So the ideal situation, the dream scenario is Jones signs for Bobby your range of that $34 to $36 million deal for. I don't even think the years matter. Just signing him, getting him, to put that pen on paper, and then being able to tag Barkley, that's the dream scenario for all Giants fans. And what sucks is, I think everyone on Twitter right now is just antsy, and with seeing all these numbers, they're bouncing, like a ball, like a pinball, I guess, all over the place, because they're all just waiting, even though it's March 7th or whatever that date is, they're waiting and they want it to happen immediately. They want Shane to, get the contract negotiations done now on when we're recording this Thursday night, February 23rd. Even though they still have about two or so weeks to work with. So it's not like that. That's not how we should know this as fans of football. That's not how, contract negotiations go. They take time. They take days, even weeks to do. So it seems like Jones is taking his time. He just switched those agents now to Athletes First. And I don't think Shane or the front office of the New York Giants is in a rush at all on their side anyway, either. Because, they obviously don't want to act like they're in a rush, because then that could look to the agency and be like, oh, they really, they really want you. They're making offers now. So I think both sides know exactly what they're doing on Jones's agent's side and the Giants too. And Shane, even though this is what his first, I guess, full offseason with the team and the GM role, he's done this before as an assistant GM. So it's nothing new. Yeah. That's all I got.
I would like it to, I agree. I would like it to get done, because I'm kind of tired of it. So we're actually, I have four, we're doing a podcast finally on the pending free agents. We've been teasing it. I have four full pages of notepads ready to go for this, and just be like, anyone asks my opinion, be like, listen, just listen. I'm not tweeting at you. Just listen.
Go ahead. No. I've been talking for a bit.
I was just going to say, we've talked about this before, but you're a pen and paper notepad guy when it comes to your notes. I don't think we've ever talked about it with Justin. Is Justin also a pen and paper guy? I don't think so.
Nope, he's not. He's a young kid like you guys.
Yeah.
So he's all digital. I'm still old school pen and paper. So my draft binders are like this thick. But I will be honest, I started doing them in Google Docs, but I still write them down on paper just because I like to have the binder. And the old saying, you remember it better if you write it down. I still think that's true. So
it is not.
And I just like having the big binder of paper. It makes me feel like a football guy.
Makes you feel like Dave Gettleman on draft.
Exactly. People were clowning Dave Gettleman for that. And I was like, that's the coolest draft binder I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I forget what I was going to ask now, Alex. You took me out of my...
Sorry, Beth.
Oh, free agents. So it's not... I don't want to,
We're not going to ruin the episode.
We're not ruining the Talking Giants episode. Obviously, everyone here...
Oh, no, go for
probably
it.
Already listened to Talking Giants.
Good reps.
Or you're...
Good reps.
Or you're, I guess, coming... Yeah, you're either coming to us after or you're going there after, I'm sure. Is it all... Are you guys going through, any position of need, or how is that getting...
We're just doing pending New York Giants free agents. So Daniel Jones, Nick Bosa, you're the big two. Then Julian Love, Darius Slayton, Richie James are the next tier. And then then we have Gates or Feliciano as a segment. And then it's the last segment, which there's 13 of these guys of our segment is minimum contract or walk. So
yeah,
I'll give it to you quick. O'Shane Zimenez, walk. Fabian Moreau, minimum. Jalen Smith, walk. Jamie Gillian, I put whatever. Matt Lita, minimum. I went mini. And then Jihad Ward, I went minimum. And then there's a lot of walks. I won't bore you with Marcus Johnson and Justin Ellis.
What's your Darius Slayton thoughts, I guess? I'm curious.
No, it's a conversation that has not been talked about a lot because everyone's so Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley heavy. I think it's an important decision with him. You know, because like if you look at pending free agent wide receivers, he's like the fourth most productive out of all.
I know, it's crazy. It's like such a weak class.
It's like Juju and then the Darius Slayton tier right there. I went and looked at other contracts, like Zay Jones got 3 for 24, Cedric Wilson got 3 for 22. So I think that's where he's gonna end up. And that might be a little too rich for the Giants, who aren't the biggest fans of Darius Slayton. You know, like Joe Shane and Brian, they're not big Darius Slayton fans. So I think he ends up walking, but you got to have some replacements. Like you got to have like kind of two high floor players, or like go out and get someone who you believe will be your number one wide receiver. Because without his speed, this offense would have been inoperable. So I think it's a big decision. I would love to have Slayton back, but I'm leaning that he's probably out. But I think another team's going to give him some decent money because he's led the Giants in receiving 3 of 4 years.
I think it's kind of confusing, to be honest, for me, why Dable and Shane don't really like him, because he kind of has the attributes of a guy that they would like, minus the drops, obviously. So that always kind of confused me how he didn't really fit into the offense always. But we saw he was pretty much in the doghouse in the beginning of the year. Obviously, when a lot of these injuries hit, he was able to come back in. But I'm kind of conflicted about Slayton. I don't really know exactly what his value is. I don't know what his value is to other teams, what it is to the Giants. I think he's going to be an interesting one. I think him and Love are ones that people aren't really talking about, but are actually really important. Because if you lose Darius Slayton, now you're suddenly left with what, Hodgins and, you know, Galladay's gone.
Hodgins and Wandale are basically the only receivers that are real receivers that are on the roster.
And Wandell is going to be coming back from an ACL, right? So he's going to need some time to, you know, catch back up to speed. It's going to be tough for him. We always see, you know, you kind of have trouble. Honestly, I saw Robert Woods got cut the other day, right? Or what was it, yesterday?
Yeah.
Would be interested in him for the Giants. You know, not on a long, huge deal, but we always see that wide receivers struggle the season they get back from the ACL, right? Obviously, Robert Woods tore his ACL 2 seasons ago now. This past season was his... you know, return from the ACL injury. I think Robert Woods is a guy who now with a full year of ACL recovery, you know, past him, could he possibly kind of get back to his old ways where he was, you know, a pretty solid receiver.
He would fit what the Giants wanted to do big time too.
He is
going to be what, 31?
I was going to say,
he'll be 31 this year.
30.
He had 520 yards last year, so not very successful.
Yeah.
You'd
be banking.
I could see him coming in on like a minimum deal. I don't know where he's going. I don't know what the market's going to be for him.
Yeah.
If it's anything more than $2 million, I want to do it. But yeah, he could.
I think he'd like somewhere like the Chiefs or, you know, even the Eagles or something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Eagles don't have any cap, really.
I got one more thing. And it's, of course, I have to go to the next part of the offseason, pass free agency, and that's the draft.
Scouting combine a week from today, right?
That's also true. I'm very excited. You were able to go to the Senior Bowl. I'm not speaking for Alex, I'm speaking for myself. So far, just because this is what we've had to do for our podcast, I looked at the top wide receivers and the top linebackers, and I'm starting to look at cornerbacks because that's the next area position of need we're going to cover. I'm going to keep the question as broad as possible to let you kind of take over with just any guys that, like, some guys that have really stood out to you so far. In your draft research,
the corners look really good. Like Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State, I really like him, and he'd obviously fit exactly what the Giants do with press man. So I've been watching the linebackers. Drew Sanders out of Arkansas, he's a fun player, but he's got a lot of cleaning up to do about his game. But he's new to the position and he plays aggressive. Like, I can work with a guy like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being pick 25. But I like Jack Campbell, the Iowa linebacker. I don't know how. You know, I think he might go higher up in the second round, so that might not be an option for the Giants. And then receivers, I'll be honest, guys, I haven't really gotten into them yet. At least the top of the class ones, I kind of watched most of the Senior Bowl guys. But I want a true wide receiver one. And the Giants just drafted Wandale I don't know if they can draft a guy who's projected to play mostly in the slot in his career, whether, you know, whoever that is, whether it's Josh Downs or whatever. Yeah. But I honestly see myself landing on defense at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I really do. Because the Giants, they need a lot of help on defense more than you think. They need corner. They need a linebacker desperately. And I think they could even use another edge if they really, really wanted to, even though that's not going to be top of the priority list for the Giants. So wide receiver one, a true wide receiver one is the thing that can help the Giants close the gap the most in one offseason. But I don't know if – I don't want to force that either.
I'll let you go.
I was just going to say, I was going to you, Alex. It's funny, Bobby, that you say you haven't done like much scouting for the wide receivers, because that's fine, because you're speaking Alex's language right there. He loves – Yeshivash, right? I think that's how you pronounce his name. That was at the senior.
RJ Yeshivash out of Princeton.
Yeah, I think he's excited.
And then also, what's the Michigan
State? Jaden Reed. I'm a big
Jaden Reed. I like Jaden Reed. I like Jaden Reed a lot.
I like him a lot. Yeah, I was watching his tape. And to be honest, I don't see, like, there's a gap for sure, but I don't see that big of a gap between a Jaden Reed type player and your, you know, I'm trying to think who are the top.
Reed is going to be someone who puts up 600 to 700 yards every single season.
That's
I don't see a big difference between him and someone like Downs or someone like even.
Yeah, I haven't watched Downs yet.
Even Flowers, right? Like, I think the problem with this wide receiver class is there's not anyone who's really a pure number one wide receiver except for Johnston, who's probably going to be gone by the time the Giants pick.
Most likely top 10, I think. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to go top 10. I think he'll go in the teens, probably, would be my guess. He's not, I don't think he's as good of a talent as some of the guys. You know, I don't think he's like a Garrett Wilson or Drake London level kind of player, but I think that's kind of the problem here. So if you're going to want a number one wide receiver, I think you're probably going to have to trade up in the draft, which probably won't be what the Giants elect to do, or make a trade, you know, probably trading that first round pick for an elite guy. But I mean, you look at the wide receiver market, you know, in Tampa Bay, I guess that's probably the one place you'd look right there. No more Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin now just sitting there with, you know, no quarterback at the moment. I think that would be potentially a place that you could look, but there's just not a lot of options out there right now. So I agree with you. I think the Giants will probably go defense, try to add a few more, you know, wide receiver two, threes, you know, to surround Daniel Jones with, but I think they're going to still have to wait for that number one guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you checked out, because I just started like my cornerback stuff this week, so I'm going like one down. Witherspoon out of Illinois, unbelievable. Like,
I haven't watched a lot of guys, to be honest.
Really? I didn't even know about, like, I don't really watch college football unless like there's a game on Saturday, I'll check it out. Whatever. Witherspoon, I checked him out on, you know, how he was doing. 22 years old. He's only a junior out of Illinois. Played all 4 years of college football. Let me see if I can find. Targeted 63 times, allowed 22 catches for 206 yards, 3 interceptions, 14 pass breakups, and he didn't allow a single touchdown all season. Played man coverage more than any other cornerback in this year's draft class. 560 out of 738 snaps. And I read like the PFF, their top rankings of cornerbacks, and I think whoever wrote it said like it was the best cornerback they might have seen in the last 9 years of scouting.
Wow.
So anyway, when I was watching his highlights and stuff, I was just kind of, my jaw dropped, like, so good. And he's not falling to the Giants, no way. Definitely another top end of the first round pick, but just, I don't know. I just wanted to bring it up because I don't know if you saw him or not yet. But yeah,
I got definitely. You. I got to start cranking through like the top guys and get it done before the combine's over.
Yeah, because so, you're gonna. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say with the Senior Bowl, I assume you did more research on the Senior Bowl guys. One guy who I've been looking at a little bit with the cornerback group, he was at the Senior Bowl. I want to talk to you a little bit about him, Julius Brents from Kansas State. What did you think of him at the Senior Bowl? Obviously, it's a little bit different, right? You can see the clips online, but when you're actually there, you kind of get a better sense of it.
He was solid. He had a couple of down plays here and there, but he was really solid. Like, he was one of the better corners out there at Kansas.
And he's 6'4". He's got, like, crazy length. You know, I think he's one of those guys who maybe needs a little bit of development. I saw one person, like, say, Tariq Woolen, because obviously similar size, length, et cetera, but he's not, like, that quick, obviously. But, yeah, I think you're going to see more and more of these guys, I think, who are more freak athletes. I mean, you see it every year, but I feel like every draft, you know, more and more you're these, you know, I guess higher floor guys are just going lower and lower, and it's more of these high ceiling guys. You know, I don't think, you know, 10 years ago, Trayvon Walker would have ever gone number one overall. I feel like it's kind of like a development in how scouting is going now in the NFL. I'm not sure. Is that your opinion too? That it's kind of developing to more raw prospects who have more upside rather than these higher floor guys?
It's weird. I've seen like Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa. I've seen him as like a top 10 guy. It's like all he knows how to do is bull rush, and he's kind of a tweener between edge and defensive tackle. Trayvon Walker last year was insane. I actually get it with like, I don't know. It's kind of weird the way it's going, where it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, we're drafting football players. Now, the fact is that the best players do fall into those categories of like those freak athletes, but they also know how to play football well.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I still disagree with drafting Trayvon Walker first overall. Like, I don't think, I mean, obviously if he turns into a stud, I'll agree with it, but like, I don't see him turning into the first overall, someone worthy of the first overall pick. So it's been interesting to see. Like, I think people are putting, the combine is more important than I used to think, but it's not the most important thing.
Yeah, we agree.
Good, Alex?
Yeah, I'm all good.
I am too. Bobby Skinner of Talking Giants, and also check out JM Football too. I forgot to mention that in the intro. Does some film breakdowns there on draft prospects too. You've been doing recently, right?
Yeah. Drew Sanders should be out next week. I got a couple matchup breakdowns of Darnell Wright versus Will Anderson, Paris Johnson versus Lucas Van Ness. So got some good stuff coming up.
All right. So, Billy, thank you so much for joining us once again, and keep pumping out that draft content, as we will too. So thank you so much, Bobby. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.